Hi, this is Sarah Lawson. I'm the owner of S&H Construction.
And I'm Bruce Irving. I'm a home renovation consultant and real estate agent here in Cambridge, Mass.
Welcome to Builder's Notebook, where we talk about all things construction.
Hey,
how you doing?
I'm swell. And yourself?
I'm well. Nice to see you. Cool. You look very summery in your with your sunglasses and your French look striped t-shirt.
From Walmart. I went to Nantucket this weekend and hung out with my betters. And
who are your betters? You're going to have to narrow
more
that
money
down.
Than I do. And that's not making them better. They're very nice folks, and it's a beautiful place.
That's wonderful.
And so, I dragged people that I know there into the ocean, which was fun. Very bracing.
I'll betcha. How long did you stay in?
I sort of am like a 1 minute person when it's cold.
I mean, that's cold.
Yeah.
But it's good for you. There's actually research that shows that it's good for your health.
You climb out, you're all, I don't towel off. You just sort of stand there and you're like, I'm bulletproof, man. This is good.
It's amazing. You know, this weekend we had to, we put in a dock on this little pond where we have a place, as I have mentioned, in Plymouth. Except this time I tricked my daughter's boyfriend into doing my job. So I stood on the shore and pointed and he got frozen. It was amazing. You can get boyfriends of your children to do anything.
Noted.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Landscaping.
When I think of putting a dock in, I think of putting your feet in the mucky stuff. That sounds terrifying. Ooh. Is that what the case is?
No, it's not mucky. It's sandy.
Oh, nice.
So it's not too bad. Well, there's some mucky, your occasional eel, but not too bad. But that whole refreshing part about getting, you know, in the cold water this time of year, I weaseled out of it. It was amazing.
That is the correct verb. Hey, listen, today is kitchens, which is always... Yeah. I don't know. Pretty cool. I mean, who doesn't like their own kitchen?
Except
for those who do not like their own kitchen,
right.
They should talk to our guests.
Exactly.
I got one anecdote about kitchens.
Let's hear it.
That I've never been able to. It's a good one. The Gropius house. Mm-hmm. Walter Gropius.
Been there.
The Bauhaus came to the United States to escape the persecutions of the war.
Yep.
38, he built this house.
Yeah.
And the thing about the kitchen there is that Mrs. Gropius said that the one mistake we made in this house is that we put the kitchen in the way we did, which is separate with a swinging door and kind of isolated.
Yeah.
She said we couldn't find, after the war, there was no help.
Yeah.
And it sounds so quaint, but it was once the case for middle class and upper middle class people to have help. And they couldn't find it because everyone had jobs and stuff.
Right.
And that was the emergence of the kitchen from the back to the front. And here we are today where kitchens are pretty much in your face. In a good way.
I think I mentioned later that we had a kitchen that we did where we took out the grand foyer and put a kitchen there. Like, it literally in the heart of the house. It's just completely changed how people look at it.
Losing a grand foyer is a step forward in any case.
That's a commitment.
No matter what you put in there, in my humble opinion. So, looks and aesthetics and fashion really count these days. Mm-hmm. And that's why Alicia is just a great person to listen to.
Our guest is Alicia Saris. She is the owner of Scavolini Kitchens. They have high-end, beautiful Italian kitchens that come from Italy that she gets to go and visit and talk about the finer, beautiful design of those gorgeous things. And she's very knowledgeable. I've known her for a long time. She's terrific. And she is our guest today.
Cool.
Hi, Alicia. Thanks so much for coming. We're really glad to have you here today.
Sarah, so glad to be here with you this morning.
And how do you feel about being here with me this morning?
Bruce, I'll take you.
It's early. It's early. Yeah. Wait till we get going.
You know, I'm going to dive in. So
okay, go for
kitchens,
it.
Kitchens, you devote your entire career to kitchen design, right?
I do, yes, 100%.
And I think that would surprise people probably from the past, because kitchens, I think, although they've always been important, they haven't had so much attention paid to them. And now, I don't know, would you call them the most important room in the house?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's where everybody lives.
Always. Lives, works.
Works.
Eats, parties.
Yeah.
Argues.
Avoids when it's full of dishes.
Exactly.
But you can't pry people out of a kitchen with a crowbar. It's absolutely the place.
You know, there's a house that we did not too long ago where it had a formal kitchen in the back, or like almost like a servant's kitchen in the back. And they sort of got rid of everything else. Literally the grand foyer, they took it and they stuck the kitchen in the middle of it. They just, why do we need any other rooms? I mean, it's actually a real opportunity on that floor, because you sort of don't need a lot of the other rooms in terms of the dining room and the living room. And they
become auxiliary. Yeah. Engulfing all spaces, you know, massive kitchens, double islands, sculleries.
Wow. Well, what's a scullery?
Yeah.
So basically the chef's kitchen or catering kitchen.
Oh, where you hide all the messy stuff,
Exactly. 100%. So we've seen a big change, addition of scullery kitchens now.
We're doing one now.
I will know I have arrived when I get my own scullery.
You didn't even know what it was. I didn't either.
I love it. I wonder what the etymology of scullery is.
I think it's a boat. It might be a boat.
That's rowing.
No.
Moving along.
No.
Moving
along. Okay, whatever. I wanted to ask the question, when I think of a giant kitchen where there's everything in it, I think about, how do you hide that mess again? So what kinds of things, tricks do you use so you're not always living in a place that just has, you know, leftover cereal bowls in it all the time?
Right. So a lot of my clients don't cook, probably 50%.
Yeah.
So their kitchen is a real showpiece. It's for entertaining. During the entertainment, those secondary kitchens are extremely helpful because people are clearing and putting them in, you know, the dirty area, and you close the door.
Yeah.
In terms of the everyday mess, we do, you know, hide appliances, behind timbre doors or pocket doors. But really gone are the days of kind of the double, you know, the islands that have the two step so that you have.
Yeah.
The 42-inch height bar and then the 36-inch, you know, so you have some area to hide a little bit of the mess. We, in contemporary modern design, I mean, which is what our forte is, the islands are generally, you know, one level straight across and...
Deep sinks. It's interesting because I do notice that you can actually put, you know, the breakfast dishes in the sink, and you really can't see it.
Put a baby in a sink?
Yeah, you can do that too.
Well, there are these massive galley sinks. They're 6 feet long.
That's right.
5 feet. I mean,
That sort of the reason? Is a place to stash stuff?
I don't know if it's a place to stash stuff, or they've got a ton of accessories that have cutting boards, but probably also to stash the mess.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, just for a little bit. It doesn't get messy the first second you leave your cereal bowl. I mean, maybe I'm just a cheater, but that's what I was staying in an Airbnb recently that had a sink like that. It was probably wasn't more than 14 inches, maybe 12 inches deep, but enabled me to like have the dishwasher needed to be unloaded, but to have my breakfast and my coffee and just put it in there and leave and have a put together house still, and then come back and deal with it later, which was a little different than the shallow sinks of yore, where everything you put in, you could sort of tell.
That's a good point.
I'm messier than your average customer, but I found that to be helpful to just take the edge off of the clutter.
Yeah, I guess we don't get into it that much about hiding the mess. I mean, you know, double dishwashers, fine.
Right.
People who live in with my clients, so there are people who are managing the mess.
That's some fancy stuff right there.
Yeah,
when you've got someone living in. Actually, it's interesting because the question I was going to ask, I was going to wait a little because it seems like against the topic, but I was just staying at my daughter's house, and she doesn't really cook. I mean, that's not true. She does cook, but, you know, mostly she's doing takeout and things delivered.
Sure.
So the whole idea of a kitchen, like what is a kitchen for? As you said, half your customers don't cook.
Correct.
So what they're getting food like pre-made delivered and it's in there. They need the kitchen to be big because they just like hanging out there. Like, is there a trend where kitchens are getting smaller because people really aren't using them very much?
We haven't seen kitchen size reduction at all. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's adding space in a thoughtful way because people are really living in their kitchen. So there was an addition of desk area, kids snack area, separate coffee station, separate bar station. Even for people who don't cook, they're living in their kitchen at the island. Or just light cooking. And then the other 50% of my clients cook like crazy.
Right.
They're really into it, cooking every single meal, big families. And they, of course, need a lot of space.
That's so fun. So what about personal interest? Are you doing gas stoves or the induction stoves more?
People still lean gas.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, induction has absolutely taken over.
Yeah.
Clients now are, they think it's new technology. It's really not, no. But it still blows people's mind.
Yeah.
So we do see some of it, but I think that this connection to gas, to seeing the heat,
mm-hmm.
really impacts the way that people think that they can cook, where induction can go higher and lower in terms of temperature. Boiling is off the charts. You can boil, yeah. you know, pot of pasta in 30 seconds, it'll come to a boil.
Mm-hmm. My God.
It's insane.
And it's not hot to the touch of your hand. That's
right.
The
Correct.
Thing. So it's pretty magical.
And to be clear, the reason that there's a move against gas, other than these efficiency items, is that there are places that are saying these have immense amounts of carbon footprint to them, right? Isn't there a problem with gas
yes,
being
that,
essentially
that's, well,
a greenhouse gas thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons, but that's not what that's, you're
you
hearing,
don't seem to,
Alicia.
I mean,
like, no.
You know, Scavolini has green, you know, they have a green mind. All of the cabinet boxes are made from recycled material, so no trees are felled. But my clients are not generally concerned with that being a guiding factor.
I was talking about it as a regulatory issue. There are communities that are now outlawing gas.
Yes.
Where?
Why do you? This is my show.
Sorry.
Don't you ask? No, it's actually
not my,
A. It's not my show. Secondly.
Go
it is.
For it.
In fact, I saw it literally yesterday. I want to say Brookline.
I want to say Brookline too.
I want to say a couple of places in California, Natch. Yeah. So,
oh. so no yeah. new so installations of combustible, and that includes for heating.
Yeah.
Also,
wow. So you probably should order a large container of induction.
Yeah. for the Brookline
just
office.
Around.
You know, wow. actually, one thing to keep in mind, though, is that it is the peak load on the electrical system is significant. So once it gets yeah. going, it's not so bad. But we looked at doing it, mm-hmm. and we would have had to upgrade our service to do it because it, so that's a cost.
Look, I deal in cabinetry right. primarily, so the appliance for me is an afterthought.
Yeah.
So should we go light on you when it comes to appliance?
Yeah,
chats?
Because I just want to hide them. I don't want to see them.
Right.
I don't want to talk about them.
Hey, she's clear. I mean,
is that weird?
I thought you said
no. It's not weird at all. I think it's a real look
Bruce,
into the scene.
Get what? Control of your podcast. You're insulting your guests.
I am. Hey, man, I just work here. All right.
Now he's not his podcast.
So look, induction for me is a great application because it's clean.
Mm-hmm. Period.
Flat.
Physically yeah. clean.
Physically looking.
Yes.
You can basically
hide. And mechanically clean.
Yeah. Hide the appliance. I don't yeah. want to see any of them.
Yeah.
I don't want to know they exist. I
right.
want the kitchen to be.
Do you have, with that leaning of your own, do
yes.
you get into, not tiffs, but conversations with the hardline cooking
yes.
people in your clientele?
Yes.
Who want to show the machinery?
Look, I'm very honest with my clients. I tell them that I am happy to give my opinion,
mm-hmm.
but that this is their kitchen, mm-hmm. and that I won't let them do anything that is... that's not going to work,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to have to fight me all the way on a stainless steel refrigerator, a massive professional
mm-hmm.
hood.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, what are your arguments when you talk to them about things like that?
It's ugly.
Okay.
Straight up.
I
know.
It's ugly. Like, that's my personal opinion, and I don't want to see... massive mm-hmm. stainless steel mm-hmm. appliances.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting because there was the trend. I mean, God, it was probably the 80s, maybe even 90s, where there were panels on doors,
mm-hmm.
But they were literally like practically with crown molding on them. Like it was a really dated look where they were trying to cover up all the appliances that didn't look so good. And I think now. They're trying to cover up all the appliances, but they're doing a good job doing it, I guess. I mean, because I understand the argument that, like, if you want a more industrial look and you want your ducts showing, maybe you want your appliances showing because it's a really different approach.
But that's a pretty
that
rare,
comes in and
that's
out.
A rare aesthetic where you have duct
I mean, it is
showing,
an right? it's just an aesthetic
yeah.
choice. Like, there's
yeah.
nothing.
Sarah's description of the panelized mm-hmm. appliances of yore is a good one. They just looked like somebody had come along with crazy glue and stuck
them on. But that's not the case anymore.
You can't even see that they're there.
How is it done now?
Well, there are a couple of manufacturers, really strong manufacturers, who are completely integrated, even so that they're touch to open, so you don't even need to install handles. So really, they look like
they look amazing.
Cabinetry.
Are we talking the manufacturers? Are the appliance manufacturers?
Correct.
Okay.
What about like open shelves and stuff? That whole look. Where are you ever do things like that, or you really want it to be this sort of sleek?
No, I think that open shelves can be done in a fine way. You just have to, again, have an open conversation with the client about what they're going to put there, because everybody sees a beautiful lit display that I have in my showroom. Of course, I've styled it with plants and brass cups and all white, or
not half filled olive oil bottles.
Right. And so I say to my clients, you're going to live in this, so you should go get all whatever one color if you're really going to use this
as a display.
Right, as a display.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, I mean, and other people want to see everything that they have. So I have chefs who come in and they want their pots hung above their range. They want their olive oils exposed, you know, behind the range. So
eek.
Well, you can do it. I think you can do it if you
put olive oil.
Easy access to it, or so we design in many different ways. It just, if someone asks for my personal opinion, I always will give it to them, and they have to make the decision whether they like that or not. But it doesn't, you know, that's just my personal opinion. And
they have to look deep. They have to look deep in their hearts about what kind of person they really are in a lot of ways. Because, like, we have a customer, I was at their house recently, and they're meticulous. They just have, we were opening drawers because we were looking for a lever that had a part. We were looking for a part. So we were all opening drawers. And even the drawers were organized in this beautiful way. Like, they would never put something ugly on an exposed shelf. But other people, like, I hope my husband isn't listening, if we left him with exposed shelves, I mean, there'd just be like all manner of magazines
from whatever. Nobody wants to see that mug.
Right, no one wants to see the mug. You know? You have to be super disciplined about it. So you have to know yourself in terms of
meticulous clients have matching flatware.
Right.
That's the way that they conceptualize.
You can get flatware that matches?
Bruce, catch up here.
Yes. I think of mine more as a collection.
You have that country clutter aesthetic, don't you?
Milestones of my life in my forks.
But drawer organizers, drawer lighting, plate dividers. I mean,
you
have vertical plate dividers. Yeah. You have vertical plate holders that, you know, sit stacked and you can pull them all out together. There are a million ways
What's your kitchen like?
I'm a minimalist, to tell you honestly. I don't cook, not one thing ever. I haven't ever used my oven. So, you know, I'm upfront with my clients about that fact also.
But what does yours look like? What's the aesthetic?
Oh, slab door, no handles, white.
Yeah.
All white.
Yeah.
Matte.
Ooh.
Integrated appliances.
Yeah.
Nothing exposed.
Right.
So no open shelving for me.
Right.
I have all white bowls, plates.
So beautiful.
Mugs.
You are a freak. I like that.
It is weird. I don't like tchotchkes, so I tell my clients off the bat, like, if we're going to come shoot your place, clear the shit out. I don't want to see it. I don't care where you've traveled.
Maybe we should live together. I don't know. Are you available? Because so we're moving, renting an apartment in the South End for a year. But anyway, I've been able to, like, downstairs, moving in tomorrow, I've been able to buy just, six plates and six mugs and just controlling the whole thing right from the get-go.
That's great. I'm in heaven.
It's so fun. I'm just going to have everything like exactly how I wanted and themed. I came through here and made everybody use the same color push pins.
We heard about that.
That last time? Whole freakiness.
But my wardrobe is like that also. Yeah. I mean, I'm really that way to the core.
I think, you know, I don't know much about feng shui, but I think that the feng shui approach would highly approve of this.
Just feels good.
Busyness is
it feels really good. I don't I make so many choices every single day in my business.
And your and so why it, spend time on clothing
I don't want
and
to
tchotchkes.
I don't want to.
Let me ask a question that goes goes in the other direction, which is people who aren't, I mean, I guess I should probably talk about money a little bit in terms of how much kitchen renovations cost. I mean, the truth is, if, and you're probably going to disagree with me, but I would say that sort of, it depends on the size, so many things it depends on, but people should be planning on $100,000 and up.
Easily.
Right. And so, you know, if somebody wants to not do the whole enchilada with their kitchen in terms of, you know, moving things and knocking walls out and throwing absolutely everything away, they want to keep things in the same location, but they want to freshen it up. I don't know. What are the most important things to do, in your opinion?
Don't put lipstick on a pig.
Okay.
That's always my first, like, take another 3 to 5 years, save your money and do it right.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you start putting new appliances, new countertops, everything else is going to look like trash.
But,
true.
So that's
interesting.
Been,
so you believe in a full consonance with the, why am I having difficulty? Everything should be the same age.
Well, sort of, and I'm biased too, because there's no, you don't refinish our stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no refinishing of cabinet faces.
Right.
We don't replace doors. We don't come in and do that type of work.
Right.
But I will say that I've had clients who's, they'll come to me and they'll say, we're not ready yet. It's too expensive. And I say, I totally understand. You have to make the best decision for yourself, where you're at, feel comfortable. And, they'll often come back to me a year or two later and say,
let's do it.
We went, we thought about painting. We had somebody come in.
Yeah.
Or they'll go through with like the painting of the cabinetry and they hate it.
Yeah.
So it just, it, you know, it,
I think a lot of people put too much stock in that move right there.
To me, it's a waste.
Really? Go on a little bit more, because I think a lot of people have in their back pocket and mentally in their back pocket, if we could repaint these, what do you see go wrong there?
It's just, it's not going to, it doesn't come out properly.
Now, granted, listen to the speaker here who has a matte white meticulous kitchen.
I mean, you have to get the doors refinished. Sarah, maybe you have a better guide on, I just don't do that, so I don't see it.
Yeah.
And when I've had people approach me on it, always say,
waste.
I just think you're going to be happier. You're going to throw whatever you're going to throw at it right now.
Is sunk. And it'll be sunk soon.
And there's and there's a chance that you're going to be bummed that you did that, wish that you had done the whole thing, and then you're going through this process, which might not be as painful as a full gut reno, but it's still painful.
I think you can save a lot of money if your kitchen has basic locations that are correct.
Fine.
And what percentage of them have that? Probably fairly low. Let's say 20% of kitchens, the stuff's in the right, all the plumbing's in the right place.
Right.
You're going to be redoing the lighting, but you're not knocking out major walls, and you're not doing, I don't know why I'm talking about what not to do, but if you're not doing like, you know, fancy pull-out inserts and like you were saying, sort of the, you know, the wine area and the coffee area and that, like, if you really just want to make it so your place feels good to be in, it seems like if you did all new cabinets and all new, it's going to have to be all new lighting, because there's no way.
Definitely.
That's correct. Probably new flooring, but you have some discipline about where you're moving stuff in terms of requiring major plumbing.
Sure.
And you don't go totally fancy with all the bells and whistles. You can sort of change your life, for as long as your windows are good too. If you've got windows, if you've got some wall that needs to be opened up, that'll change your life. So I'm sort of thinking, what are the change your life things, as opposed to the it all adds up but maybe you can live without it. I mean, I think there's an interim way of doing it. Still expensive, don't get me wrong. You're probably paying 3/4 of what you would be paying otherwise, unless your other plan is moving a ton of walls, because then it goes up again.
Yeah, I think that if you stay within where the appliances go, that reduces your cost. But there is some amount of construction no matter what.
For sure.
And we have a really wide product range. So if people come in and they are budget conscious off the rip, we steer them the direction that will make them feel most comfortable.
Yep. So what kinds of, do you ever sort of give a general idea in terms of cost per lineal foot for upper or lower? Is that just an area you don't want to go?
We don't. Yeah. We bid everything by the kitchen layout, by the finish, by the accessory. And that tends to get, I mean, that's just a very, very accurate way to have people understand exactly what they're getting for further money. So if, you know, and we generally start with what people will really want. Mm-hmm. When my clients come in, they're at the Boston Design Center, they walk in, they understand it's an Italian luxury product.
Yeah.
And so I generally say, let's just start with exactly what you want. We see where it lands, and we can peel back from there.
What mm-hmm. are some of the big peel back moves?
So mm-hmm. peel back moves are, I would say, first change in finish. So moving from a glossy lacquer to a matte lacquer, mm-hmm. moving from a veneer to mm-hmm. an eco wood. Those are some really big changes that people can make.
Can mm-hmm. we define eco wood?
Eco wood is melamine. So it's a laminate, mm-hmm. Extremely well-priced, very durable, mm-hmm. and Italians have figured out a way to look at make it look amazing. Mm-hmm. So that's a great option for yeah. people.
Okay. Any other moves?
Peeling back the accessories. So when you were talking about pullouts.
Things inside,
mm. lighting inside, mm. you know, yeah. lighting in drawers. Mm.
Okay.
Drawer boxes. Mm-hmm. We have steel and glass drawer boxes. Mm. So if we just go with standard aluminum without the glass, that mm. is, you know, can be a reduction. Also, Scamolini has a basic line, and the basic means reduced lacquer color choice, mm-hmm. reduced lacquer amount of times applied on the door, mm-hmm. and that can peel it back significantly also.
That's great.
So we try to make it work for people.
It sounds like countertops don't have a huge range, or do they?
Countertops have a really big range.
They do.
We don't sell those directly. We basically help facilitate that with mm-hmm, people. Mm-hmm. So you can run the gamut with countertops also. Mm-hmm. You can buy a quartz that's made in China. You can buy Carrara marble that's
made by God. she did a great job. I mean, so, it's just been sitting in the ground for a long time. Stuff.
They're way okay. backed up shipping.
I have to ask, as a consultant, I sometimes get the drop on the floor that you guys are talking about how much things cost. And it seems like many lay people think IKEA will somehow solve all of their yeah. problems. Do you have anything you'd like to say about that?
So first, I'm a big fan of IKEA yeah. in the way that they have figured out how to display modern design. Mm-hmm. I think they're brilliant. I think that they have a place, mm-hmm. and the place is not in the kitchen.
Ah! Okay, no, go on. I want to hear this. I want to hear the things that we don't see. How do I hear a thing I can't see? I want to hear why IKEA is not the magic bullet some people think it is.
Mainly because it just doesn't last.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. And I have to say, I was going to say that I have cabinetry. It's just this vanity in the bathroom that we did in our house in Plymouth. And I had Michael Humphreys do it, who's subsequently retired.
Okay.
But he's long career, beautiful, beautiful custom cabinetry.
Okay.
And just the experience of the drawer, every day mm-hmm. I touch the drawers mm-hmm. and yeah. the way they yeah. close and the weight.
Right.
And that whole experience is just like, it's life enhancing. And whereas I have other cabinets in that same house that were put in not by me, which it irritates me every day because
yeah,
they're not.
I've had IKEA dressers, right. and you can feel the drawer.
Yeah,
I mean it, just, and it falls apart after 2 years.
Apart. No it matter, does.
And I'm meticulous in my
right.
use. You know,
right.
it's not heavy. You know, I'm not
no.
going bonkers on it.
No,
but
it just you can't get it. You can do things to it when you're installing it to make it a little more solid, but like the doors will not be hanging square, mm-hmm. and you can't adjust. The hardware is not fine enough, so you can adjust it so they're perfect. So you're sort of dealing
and there's
with
no customizability.
Right.
of it. So I do, it has its place in the world.
It does.
For people who come to me who say, why are you different than IKEA? I say, if you can't tell the difference, you should probably buy IKEA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It really is. it's a sad, I don't want to run IKEA down because I agree with you, Alicia, about the forwardness of their modernism.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I love them.
But
I think they're amazing.
There's something deeply ungreen about something that doesn't last. Yeah. As my buddy Norm Abram once said, there's nothing more expensive than a cheap tool.
Mm-hmm. For
and,
sure.
And of all the stuff in a house, bringing us full circle back to how much a kitchen is front and center. It's front and center both visually and mechanically. People are, well, you, with the exception of you, who has not opened a drawer in a while, that thing gets worked hard.
Yeah,
it does and get worked hard.
It gets worked hard, and I completely join you on the psychic benefits that are going in and out of your body every time you use a really well-built thing like a Michael Humphrey drawer.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a question that I didn't want to throw at you, and you say, I don't fucking know. But do you have any sense of how long an average kitchen lasts these days? Meaning, how long do people live with a kitchen before they replace it?
I would say 10 to 15 years.
Mm, okay.
Maybe beyond that. People want them to work 20, but I even appliances are dying after, I think, between 10 and 15 years. And
the obsolescence. And how often, in both of your seats, mm-hmm. do you find that someone who buys a new home feels compelled to replace the kitchen no matter what age it is?
Well, we see that a lot.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say we do see it a lot, but it's also we see it in some of the developments in the high rises where the quality of the kitchen isn't that good. It's an expensive piece of property, but the kitchen is actually not great.
And therefore, when it changes hands, it gets upgraded?
Well, yes. Or and even when even the first person who buys it.
Oh, it goes from the floor model.
Yeah, that happens a lot because they're spending a couple million bucks on one of those things and they've got this cheesy kitchen.
Exactly.
So, everyone's talking about supply chain issues, labor issues, not labor issues, but, how
shortage.
Long things take. And what's your experience out there?
So our production is moving along at its same clip. So we've been 16 weeks forever.
Mm. Wow, that's sort of amazing.
Let's be clear. Which is, Scavolini has its own production facilities
Scavolini
in the old country?
Is a manufacturer, and
Got
they
it.
Have massive factory. So the timeline for production
has been solid. Where's the factory?
It's in Pesaro, which is between Bologna and Ancona on the Adriatic.
Got it.
It's such
Very
a treat
nice
to
place
go
to
there.
Visit, I was
oh
gonna
my
say.
God, it's I love
some
it.
Beautiful place.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But I will say the thing that is really difficult for us that we don't have control over is the shipping.
Mm.
So we get notifications that ports have moved to every other week shipping, that the containers, they couldn't get their hands on containers, so it's a week late or 2 weeks late.
Yeah,
back up at the port, coming into Port of New York.
You know, it's such a mess for schedule and budget for projects.
It is very difficult.
Especially if you have a big project going where there are the clock's ticking and there are costs. Like if there's nothing happening at a job site, we won't have a job super sitting there, but there's usually something happening. And so the density of the job goes down with these delays, right?
Density.
So,
That's
and you
good.
Can't, yeah. you can't predict it very well. So it's,
you can't.
It costs customers money. This thing, it's terrible.
It's very unpredictable. And I think that is the thing about it. Cause sometimes you're absolutely fine on target, no problem. And then there will just be something that totally sideswipes you.
Just out of curiosity, do you ship the boxes full of air or do they come collapsed?
No, they're fully formed, door on.
Wow. Okay, just
curious.
You could
put shoes in there or something.
Yeah, thank you.
Lower.
Brilliant. I like it.
Hey, Italy shoes.
Hey, we're in Italy. Yeah. Let's throw some shoes in there.
Throw shoes in your container.
All right, so speaking of fashion, what a segue. Do you have any sort of personal favorite materials, brands, stuff like that?
So
we've heard about your own place.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I am a huge fan of Italian brands. I have invested a lot of time, energy, money in building Scavolini as a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And down to fashion, I try to wear Italian brands.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to me that I'm a cohesive representative of what I do and my company.
Mm-hmm.
So Valentino shoes are my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
What about a car?
You know, I don't own a car
okay.
right now.
All right, fair enough.
If I could, I would have a Maserati.
Not a Fiat?
Well, the Maseratis are so beautiful.
Starting with that logo.
But look at the Lamborghini, the Ferrari. Yeah, no, I mean, there.
You do not have to, for me anyway,
Italian design.
Have been at it for a
so
long
beautiful.
Time.
They are just gorgeous.
Oh my gosh.
You can't beat Italian design.
I remember being on the Adriatic in Italy and in sort of a relatively small town and seeing, you know, guys driving these older versions of these sports cars. Mm-hmm. And what I remember is they were wearing like the Dolce and Gabbana glasses with the rhinestones. That's what I remember. They were working it so bad. And the other thing is the older women were working it really, really incredibly with their outfits.
Italians are impeccable. Dress, I mean, it's important. Fashion in the home, what they wear, they pay attention.
Alicia, can you tell us where people can find you?
Yes, absolutely. Come to the Boston Design Center. Scavolini is on the second floor. We're open 9 to 5, Monday through Friday.
Yep.
And if you want to send us an email to set up an appointment, you can find us at info@cucinamoda.com, and that's CUCINAMODA.com, or you can always just Google Scavolini.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking kitchens with us.
Oh, it's been a delight. My pleasure.
So great.
I'm coming in for a personal redo.
Bruce, I can't wait.
A makeover. Thanks for coming, Alicia.
And thank you.
Making me look at myself askance.
Oh, thank you again.
Thanks so much for joining us. You can find out more about S&H Construction at shconstruction.com.
And you can find out more about me at bruceirving.biz. That was fun.
A lot of fun. Let's do it again soon.